Joshua chapter 6 in your Bible this morning, and we're going to go to the first five verses and look at this passage and hopefully get a little help for us today. Joshua chapter 6, verses 1 through 5 will be our text. We'll read it responsively in just a moment. I'll read the odd verses if you join me on the even-numbered verses 2 and 4. Preaching on these Sunday mornings, Lord willing, about battles or fights, so we're preparing for the battle. Talked about Naaman, the captain of the Syrian army last Sunday. And the greatest obstacle he had to overcome was his pride to be helped. And the greatest obstacle we have to overcome to get any kind of help from God is our pride. Our pride. We'll talk more about Joshua chapter 6 this morning in a different aspect, obstacles again, but a different thought. Let's stand together, please. And we're going to read the first five verses of this chapter. Please join me on the even ones. Here we go. Now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. And ye shall compass the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horns. And the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat, and the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. Let's pray together before our song. Dear Father, I pray that you'll help us, please. Now, Lord, we have to do our part. I pray that you'll open our eyes and help us to see some things from this passage that maybe we've seen before, maybe we've never seen before, but something that could help us. And then, Lord, help us to open our own hearts and spirits to receive what you open our eyes to. Lord, show us something and then help us to get it. Bless the song singer. Bless the message to come. I pray, God, that you'll be glorified in all that we say today. Thank you for the opportunity to have church service. Use your word, please, in our hearts, in Christ's name, and amen. Thank you, B.C. All right, thank you. Good song this morning on this kind of Sunday. Good singing. Now, I want to speak to you on the subject, getting past the obstacles, these large walls that are around the city of Jericho and what they did to get past them, and people in this room experiencing some obstacles in Christian life. What are you going to do to get past them, beyond them, around them, through them? What's going to happen? How are you going to do that? Maybe you get some help this morning from this passage, and let's pray. And I promise you, it won't be anything fantastic. There are no hidden secrets to victory in the Christian life. It's the same old of the Word of God. So let's pray together, and we'll get into it this morning. Dear Father, we thank you so much for the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary by your Son, and for the forgiveness and the justification and the power over sin that comes from that shed blood. Dear Father, if there's somebody in the room this morning who is trusting in water baptism or ink with their name written with ink on a church roll somewhere, if there's somebody here trusting, Lord, in their good works, if there's somebody here trusting in anything other than the shed blood of Jesus Christ, I pray that, Lord, you'll draw that person's heart to that Christ this morning. And to that cross. Help me as I bring your message and your word. Lord, may you help us with it. Give me wisdom and grace to preach it in power, please. And we'll thank you for that. Holy Spirit, give us that liberty that only you can bring. In Jesus' name, amen. You may identify with this. Do you remember when you were younger? I remember as a boy. When Dad would show and or tell me how to do something, that to me was huge. And he would say to me, son, it'll work. Here's what you do. Here's how you do it. Either tell me or show me or both. He said, it'll work just fine. Trust me. Do it like I said, and you'll be all right. And as a boy, I was tempted to think, it's got to be, that's not going to work. But, you know, you'd be trying to accomplish some huge thing, and Dad would tell me to do it this way or show me how to do it, and it would make it so much easier and so much quicker, and it would work. And as a child, I would have to trust someone much older than myself, even though it may not have made any sense to me. If I just trust somebody who'd been down the road further than I had to do it that way, it worked. That happens as a kid. Now, In Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9, don't turn there, but this is what God says to us. He says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." Now, don't miss this next phrase. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth." Are the heavens higher than the earth? How much higher? What is the sun? 93 million miles away or light years? I forget now what it is. I mean, it's way out there. It's a long ways. The metro from Kankakee is not going to get you there, all right? It's way out there. Last two Sundays and even last Monday, the sunrise has just been absolutely tremendous. And by the time I get to the point in time in my exercise where the sun is coming up across the horizon, it's been this great big orange ball. The gases have, you know, the atmospheric gases have kind of hindered the bright rays. Boy, the sun takes on different perspective, doesn't it, depending on what's between us and the sun. There was recently in the morning, it's been this great big orange ball. Great big orange ball. How far out there is that thing? It's a long ways out there. And he said, "For as the heavens are higher than the earth." That's a long ways. Let's hear what God said. "So are my ways higher than your ways. And my thoughts higher than my thoughts than your thoughts." You know what God is saying? God is saying the same thing our dads were saying to us when we were little kids. He said, "You know, sometimes you're just going to have to trust me. Things aren't always going to make sense to you. But you remember where I am sitting and what I know and what I can see. And you think about all that I can do. And child of God, just trust me." That's what he's saying. Trust me. Now, Joshua was the captain of the Hebrew people. He's the captain of the Hebrew army and all the Hebrew people. And he learned that truth in his very first battle after crossing into the land of Canaan. The very first battle he encountered, he had to learn the truth of just God saying, "You know what? Do it my way. Do it my way. I know you're a trained soldier. And I know you got your strategic battle plans. You got all the military prowess, but I want you to put all of that aside and I want you to do it my way and just trust me." And friend, Joshua did, and you know the results if you know the Bible. If you don't, let me help you with it this morning. Let me just point out three or four things before I get into the meat of the message this morning. I want to point out, first of all, the city. Look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now Jericho." That's the city we're talking about here. Jericho was a large, well-protected city located on a plain not too far from the Jordan River. Its protection, the protection for the city was in its walls. Now, I've tried to resource this thing over the years, and it's funny to me. You read this guy, and he says this. Read another guy, and he says this. Another guy says this. Another guy. You know, and I've read everything from two walls to one wall, and the wall was 15 feet high, and another person said 20 feet high, another said 30 feet high, another person said it was this thick, another person this thick, and there was a moat between the two walls, and that was one wall. And I don't know, I wasn't there, even though according to Brother Hanks, I got hair that proves I'm old enough to be there, I wasn't there, okay? Now, he gave it to me on Wednesday night, I took a licking, didn't I? But that's all right, you know, I'll get a chance to be with him somewhere someday, amen. But anyway. We're talking about a well-protected city, regardless if it's one wall, two walls. I know this much, folks. Those walls were wide enough, large enough, strong enough, thick enough that houses were built on them. People lived in houses that were built on those walls. Okay, so we're talking about a pretty formidable wall. So here's the city. This huge obstacle that had to be overcome. That's what I'm talking about this morning, getting past the obstacle. Getting past the obstacles. This huge obstacle that had to be overcome for the children of Israel to move on in their journey. Listen to me, they could not ignore it. It was there. Okay? So if they're going to get on in their journey, they're going to make progress, and they're going to get all that God had for them, they've got to deal with the obstacle. It's there. Okay? And you can't just close your mind, close your eyes, and just go, "Oh, I wish you could just..." That's not life. So here's this obstacle. That's the sitting. Now I want you to see number two, the assurance. Look at verse number two. The Lord said unto Joshua, you got your Bible, look at verse two there. See, I have given into thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor. Here's the assurance. I mean, they haven't gone to battle yet. They haven't initiated the conflict. And God comes to Joshua and says to him, Joshua, it's yours. I have given you the city. It's yours for the taking. The city, the king, the military, all of it is yours. I have given it all to you. Can I say, folks, you know God is big enough to do such a thing. He's big enough to do such a thing. I'm going to tell you something. Our God hasn't changed any. He is not one millimeter smaller today than He was then. He's not one whit less powerful today than He was then. It's well within God's ability to give them that city. The God who created everything in 6 days by speaking it into existence, that sun that I marveled at this morning, that great big orange ball in the sky, God spoke it into existence. Let there be light. There was no gaseous explosion, big bang out in the universe. I got a helmet and a rubber room for you if you believe that. It's nonsense. He created it by speaking it into existence. Now the God that can do that can deliver a strong city, can overthrow a huge obstacle. Do you know, folks, we don't have to go any further than just American history to see that. God delivered a highly trained, well-armed, tremendously financed army of British soldiers, the most powerful army in the known world at the time. God delivered that army into the hands of a bunch of ragamuffin patriots who ran through the briars and they ran through the brambles and they ran... ran through the places where the rabbits couldn't go. That's terrible. Where'd that thought come from? That's awful. Oh, mercy. All the stuff that comes back to you at the most inopportune time. Amen. Yeah. In the Revolutionary War, there is, if you took paper and you took strategy and you took all everything and put it all down, there's absolutely no way on earth that that Patriot Army should have defeated that revolution, the British Army. Now, but there's a God in heaven. And He can deliver obstacles. So He got the assurance, said, Joshua, it's all yours. You're going to take the king, the military, the whole thing, it's yours. It's yours for the taking. It's yours. Now, folks, that ought to give us encouragement to engage the obstacle. The obstacle's not going away because we think it away. Or neglect it or overlook it. You got to engage it. Okay? Got to engage it. So here's Joshua, here's this huge obstacle, and God helps him and says, look, you engage this thing and you're going to get the victory. Now, look at the plan. This is where it gets weird. Verses 3 through 5. You know, for sake of time, why don't we just mention it because we already read it. He said, Joshua, here's the battle strategy that you're going to employ in the city. You're going to take your army, and I want you to walk around the city, the walls of the city, one time for 6 days. Don't you fire a shot. Don't you launch an arrow. Don't catapult a rock. Just walk around it. Where'd that battle strategy come from? And on the seventh day, you're going to take all the priests and you're going to have ram's horns. They're going to get in front of the soldiers and the people and you're going to march around the city 7 times. Now, I know what Joshua, I know what he's already thinking because it's human nature. He's starting to think, before he even starts, he said, how's that going to look? What are they going to think? Here comes this ragamuffin group of Israelites just crossing over the Jordan River in the land of Canaan, and we're going to engage this city in combat, and we don't carry any bows and arrows, we don't carry any weapons, we don't carry any catapults, no rocks, no nothing. All we do is just walk around the city. But remember, friend, you know what he's doing to Joshua? It's simple. Trust me. It's simple. Trust me. Don't forget that. We'll be back there in a moment. It's simple. Trust me. Trust me. It's simple. My ways are higher than your ways. How much higher, God? As high as the heaven is from the earth. That's a long ways. That means God does things different than you and I do. So that's the plan, Joshua. What you're going to do? And on that seventh day, they're going to blow with those ram's horns on those trumpets, and the people are going to shout, and the walls are going to fall down flat. Now, what would you have done if you had been Joshua? Uh-huh. Okay. That's what the plan was. Now look at the victory. Look at verse number 20. You got your Bible open there. You got the text, Joshua chapter 6. Go all the way down to verse number 20. Read it here. Look at what it says. So the people shouted. Now they've walked around it one time a day for 6 days. Now they've walked around it 7 times on the seventh day. And that seventh time, when they were all done, the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets. And it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the wall fell down flat. So that the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. I mean, when they shouted, what did they say? I don't know. Have any idea? Down. I don't know. Fall. Flat. Wall. Help. I don't know. But they shouted. And the walls came crumbling. And they won the victory. Just like God said. Let's put this where you and I live. Every child of God needs to know that obstacles are a part of our Christian walk. Every one of us. Big obstacles, large obstacles, well-fortified obstacles, obstacles with huge walls. They stand in the path. They won't go away by closing your eyes and counting to three and clicking your little ruby red slippers together. Not going to go. And Hollywood done a good job of just kind of making everything seem so make-believe. But I just, you know, just goes away. They're not going away. They've got to be engaged. They've got to be tackled. They stand in the path on this journey that we are making as we serve God, as we live for God. We're going to encounter these obstacles. These obstacles are of many different sorts. And can I say this morning, truthfully to you? I don't say it ugly. I say it truthfully. Many times, the obstacles are of our own making. So what are you talking about? Well, when you get saved, it's a wonderful thing to get saved. It's a wonderful thing to be forgiven. It's a wonderful thing to be justified from our sins. It's a wonderful thing to have your name written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. It's a wonderful thing to have your ticket punched for heaven. It's a wonderful thing. We don't have to worry about dying and going to hell and being separated from God forever. It's a wonderful thing to have the Holy Spirit within us, to be a child of God, not to worry about going to hell, like I said, to have new life in Jesus Christ. But folks, as wonderful as all of those things are, and they are wonderful, oftentimes there are still consequences that are from the years in sin. And those obstacles, all those things, they create huge obstacles as we try to live our life for God. Sin is paid for. Its penalty is paid for. You can have victory over its power, and thank God because we're saved. One of these days, we'll be delivered from the very presence of sin. We're going to a place where there'll be no sin. But until that time, especially if you got saved later on in life, and park right here for a minute, Pastor Angel, and talk to the kids in this room who are growing up in homes who have respect for the Bible and teaching and training and singing the songs of God and instruction from a godly dad and instruction from a godly mother and instruction from godly Sunday school teachers and instruction from godly influences. You've been taught how to avoid the troubles that sin brings into your life. Stay away from it. Because I'm going to tell you something. Once you get you mess around and you spin yourself a web of trouble through sinful living. You've been taught and trained and taught and trained. Look, trust us and obey us. And it's not just not obeying us. It's obeying the Word of God as we tell you what to do and how to live. I don't know how it's going to control my life. Well, you're an idiot. Somebody's going to control your life. Trust it to somebody who loves you. I'm going to tell you, even as a saved person, you can spin such a web of circumstances with your name written in heaven, with your reservation, your ticket punched. You can create such a web of difficulty in this life through not living a godly, clean Christian life. Some are spinning it right now. I watch them leave high school, get a diploma, and leave and start spinning. I'm going to tell you something. You hear me. As sure as I'm standing here today, breathing right now at 11:46 a.m. on September 28, 2008, you're spinning a web of difficulty in your sin, and you're going to get hung up someday. Now, that's all there is to it. Doesn't have to be that way. Amen. And I'm saying for those of you out there this morning, like me, saved at age 18, and years of wickedness, and you know, this guy right here, and this guy right here, what a blessing for them. I mean, they paid the price. They got along with their dad and mom. They listened. They obeyed. They went the right way. I'm not saying they didn't struggle, but for the most part, they turned their life over to their parents, their pastors, their counsel, and they lived for God. Do you understand what these young men have avoided? I have battles they'll never know anything about. Because I spun so many webs. You ever run into a spider web? Don't you love that? Sticks to your ear, your neck. And I'm saying, Christian, this morning, listen, I'm glad I'm saved. And I'm glad my name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I'm glad my ticket is punched for heaven. I'm glad the Holy Spirit lives within me. I'm glad I'm a child of God this morning. I've been that way for 33 years in just a few days. But I want to tell you something. Since 1975, but I had some huge obstacles that had to be overcome because I didn't get saved until I was age 18. That's right. And sometimes they're of our own making. We had to, and by the way, maybe some of you this morning, you don't have the salvation matter settled. You don't have this thing nailed down where you know for sure if you breathe your last breath today, tomorrow, you will close your eyes on this earth and wake up in heaven. You say, well, that's why I want to be saved so I can avoid some trouble. Let me give you a greater reason to be saved. You're a sinner. God loves you. He sent Jesus to die for you. If you die without Christ, you'll be separated from God forever in eternal fire. And God wants you to be saved. God wants you to be His child. That's a great reason right there. If you're not saved, now is the day of salvation. Behold, now is the accepted time. Today, you say, why today, Pastor? Because can you guarantee tomorrow? Right. Who can guarantee tomorrow? You can't. There come these obstacles. Yes, we got saved. Yes, we're on our way to heaven. But we got these unavoidable consequences of sin, obstacles. But I'm here to tell you this morning, Christian, they can be overcome on our way to victory. We don't have to be stopped by the obstacles. Now, I'm going to endure some obstacles and have to go through some that he's not going to have to go through. Or him. Some of you are like me. You don't have to be stopped by those obstacles. I'm not saying that these guys have no trouble. Everybody has their own obstacles. But I'm saying sometimes they are of our own making. And I believe in the plan of God that God gave to Joshua for the Hebrew people to use at Jericho. I believe we see a plan that we can use to work for us as we encounter obstacles. They're not going away. You have to engage them. Say, oh boy, I can't wait to hear this. Well, I'm going to disappoint you. Okay, so let me just take the air out of the balloon right now. Because you're not going to like what it is. Because it's so simple. But isn't that what Dad said? Son, do it this way. Trust me. He said, okay, what's the first thing I see? To overcoming obstacles, getting past the obstacles. Number one, prayer. Oh, shucks, can't you do any better than that? Really? You think we can improve on that? Prayer. Look at what it says in verse number 4. He said, and 7 priests. You see that right there? You know what the priest did? The priests were the go-between for the people of Israel. They stood between the people and God. They stood in the place of God for the people, and they stood in the place of the people for God. The priest would be the mediator between God and man, carrying on the work of God for man, carrying the burdens of man to God. The go-between between God and man. That's Old Testament. Now, let me tell you what, in this New Testament day and age, you and I that have been saved, we have been made priests. Amen. I'm not Father Angel. And I'm not Reverend Angel. Ooh. 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 Just call me brother, pastor, Pastor Terry, Pastor Angel, preach. I don't care. Just not Reverend, please. And not Father. I have no more access to God than you do. None. In fact, I don't think I have as much access to God as some of you do. Because I'm not the best Christian in this place. There are some very godly people here that have greater access to God than I do. And I'm going to tell you something. God said, you take those priests, the go-between, the prayer. Let me ask you, you got an obstacle you're encountering this morning? You got some obstacle that's, my gracious. Let me ask you, have you prayed about it? Well, I'm going to get a phone. I'm going to call. Put the phone down. Turn it off, in fact. Turn the cell phone off. Put it somewhere where you can't go off. And turn the lights out if you need to. Get on your knees in your bedroom or go for a walk, just you, and talk to God about it. Have you prayed about the obstacle? Have you asked God to remove it? Have you asked God to knock it down? Have you asked God for the power to overcome it? You know, it may be the powerful grip of a fleshly habit. And I want to say something, man, you come out of a life of sin with a grip sometimes of a horrible fleshly habit. It could be some vice. It could be just so hard to control, a temper, anger problem. I mean, have you prayed about it? It could be the grip of a fleshly habit. It might be financial pressure. It might be a relationship difficulty between you and a current wife, current husband, current spouse, or a former spouse. His, her, mine, our children, interpersonal relationship problems. Here's this huge obstacle, Pastor, and it's taking away my joy. I can't get past it. Have you prayed about it? I told a person this week. I can't remember who it was. I told somebody this week. I said, you know what you may need to do? You may need to miss a meal every day. I knew who it was now. I talked to him on Monday. I said, brother, you may have to miss a meal every day. Miss it. Do without eating. And the time that you would eat the meal, lunch, supper, go somewhere, get alone and just pray and ask God, oh God, please, have you prayed about it? I've said before, I'll say it again. We want some kind of, you know, the key. You know, these things work good on doors, but they don't work on obstacles. Prayer does. I've used it before. I'll use it again. I'm sure I reached a point. You know, my wife and I have never been separated. We never used the word divorce. She never threatened me with it. I never threatened her with it. She never run off to her parents' house. I never run to mine. Every now and again, she has to get me out from underneath the bed because I get scared, you know. But every now and again, come out from underneath there. But we've had our marriage conflicts. Sure. Sure, most of them the creation of me, most of them my fault. 99.9%. I married up. So did a lot of you men, amen. There came, I don't know, 04, 05, I can't remember. 3 years ago, 4 years ago, We were on a vacation. We got to our destination, meet up with my parents and some of my brothers, and one of my brothers was there. We got ready for bed that night, and I could tell just there's a little bit of tension in the air. You know, you've been there. Don't look so pious. What's that, tension? No, come on. Well, she started spilling her heart. She wasn't ugly. She was just spilling her heart. And God showed me that night, lying in that bed in the state of Tennessee, up in the Smoky Mountains. He said, this is going to change. Huge obstacle. Because something I had trouble with all my life. It involved his mouth. Blah, 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 blah. That's where 90% of our troubles come from. Well, but God showed me this thing's going to have to be fixed. I came back from Tennessee, and if ever in my life I have made something a matter of intense prayer, it was that situation. And I can't stand up here this morning and say since 04, 05, I'm blameless in that area, but I can stand up here this morning by the grace of God and tell you about 90% blameless. You say, what does that? Oh, that thing that you dismiss is, you know, too easy. That's prayer. Give me something that works. It does work. You got to work it. You got to work it. I see prayer. You know what else I see in this battle plan? Oh, yeah, well, maybe I can get something now. Oh, okay, hold on. I see the Bible. The Bible. I know. What did Dad say? Son, just trust me. I see the Bible. Look at verse 4 again. Seven priests shall bear before the ark seven trumpets of ram's horns. Whoa, stop right there. Seven trumpets of ram's horns. You know what they used? You know what a ram is? You all watch the hunting shows. You've all seen them shoot those rams on those high rocky mountains. You've all watched that. I know you have. I know you've seen that. Yeah. You see those ram's horns? They're curled, you know? And that's what they use for trumpets. They blow through those things. They're called chauffeurs a lot of times. S-H-O, not the guy that drives the car, okay? Not a chauffeur. They blow those things. And they use them for horns. They use them for trumpets. Now watch. Now, wait. You'll see in verse number 5 that the people were waiting for the sound of the trumpet to shout. And in verse number 16 says the same thing. Joshua said, when you hear the trumpet, the ram's horns, when they blow those ram's horns, you shout. And in verse 16 and verse 20, they did that. They heard the ram's horns and they shouted. You know what the ram's horns, those trumpets were used for? They gave people direction. This is how it was for the children of Israel. Let me quote you a verse or read you a verse. Don't turn to it for sake of time. Numbers 10:8. Hear this now. Don't miss this. And the sons of Aaron the priests shall blow with the trumpets. Now watch this. And they shall be to you for an ordinance forever throughout your generations. In other words, he said, I'm going to use the sound of the ram's horn to give you direction. It's going to give you a command. It's going to give you direction. You charge, you retreat, you hold up, you gather together, but you move according to the sound of the trumpet, the ram's horn. When the ram's horn sounds, you move. You follow directions. We have a ram's horn. Right here. To overcome obstacles, you have to have the direction of God's Word. I'm going to tell you why some of you are wearying yourself with trying to engage or overcome or get past the obstacle because you're doing it like a blind man groping in the night. You're not going to overcome an obstacle or get past it groping in darkness. You must have direction from this book right here. So are you praying about your obstacle? Are you reading your Bible? Well, show me what I can read that deals with my obstacle. Let me tell you what the Bible says. The Bible says that all Scripture, from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21, is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. I have opened this book. I have been facing obstacles, personally and ministry related, facing obstacles. Click the light on, grab the cup of coffee. Amen. No sugar, just cream. Powdered. Although half and half sure is good. I've gotten in the morning, plopped down in that recliner, popped open this book right here, pulled my little ribbon out where I'm supposed to be reading, and started to read just to be obedient. Just to try to be a good Christian. And in the course of reading something, bang, God turns the light on. Oh, God, I wasn't even thinking about my problem. I wasn't even thinking about the obstacle. I wasn't even thinking about, that wasn't on my mind. I was just reading your book, trying to be obedient, trying to be a decent Christian. I was just reading them, and look what you did. You turned the light on. You shined the beam. You showed me how to get past the obstacle. It may be that you can't find anything to do, but just reading it will give you strength and help your endurance, friend. Do you have a time for the daily reading of the Word of God and thinking about it and meditating? Bible reading will help shed light on your situation. That ram's horn will blow and it'll give you direction. It'll give you some light in the midst of the darkness. I'm sorry, these are not fantastic things, but I'm going to tell you something. You're not going to overcome or go through or get past the obstacle without prayer in the Bible. I got to finish. Prayer, Bible. You know what the third thing I say here? Trust and obey. Sake of time. Here we go. Watch it. Watch it. Seven priests, seven trumpets, 7 days, 7 times. That's a lot of sevens, isn't it? Seven is the number of completion in the Bible. You know what God is saying here? He's saying complete trust and obedience will be required to get past the obstacle. Folks, trust and obedience are Siamese twins. Do you know that? You put your little 3-year-old on the countertop in the kitchen, you've done that. 2 years old? Come on, jump to daddy, jump to daddy. That's trust and obedience. Trust and obedience. You can't talk about trusting God if you don't obey God. It's impossible. The walls are going to fall, Joshua. You get out here and walk around. Walk around and walk around. Lord, it seems so insignificant. You know what God is saying to us here? He's saying, look, you come to this obstacle. You want to get past it. Do what, look, folks, Joshua could. You think it was anywhere within the realm of possibility that Joshua could knock those walls down? Talk to me. No. He's not the big bad wolf. He can't huff and puff and blow those walls down. It's not within his capability, brethren, to knock those walls down. But it is within his capability to walk around them. Just obey. Oh, I've got to get past this obstacle. Read your Bible, pray, go to work, put in a good day's work, be right, be honest, be clean, think the right thoughts, don't watch bad television shows, keep your heart clean, talk right, pray for your food, live a good life, try to serve God. Hey, obey! Everybody can do that. Can't knock walls down. I can't knock walls down. But I got a God who can. He says, obey me. Do right. Trust me and obey me. This is what I'm talking about this morning. These are not fantastic things, but they are fantastic things because they're all within reach of what we can do. And then I got to finish. I see persistence. They walked around those walls 13 times. Now, how long do you reckon that took? We're not talking about the auditorium here, folks. We're talking about a long haul. And they just stayed at it, stayed at it, stayed at it, stayed at it, stayed at it. Pastor, this doesn't work. I'm tired of these kind of sermons. I prayed and I read my Bible and I did right for 2 days. And my obstacle didn't go away. Oh, I say you put God on a time clock. Go. No, you know what? It may take weeks. It may take months. It may take a year. It may take 2 years. Because I'm not on his, he's not on my clock. I'm on his clock. I can't knock walls down, but I can do that. Until I get so dizzy I can't stand up. I've talked to people. You send them home with a prayer, an outline for prayer and Bible reading, and they do it for 4 days, and the obstacle doesn't go away. So that's it. I'm done. Like you're going to tell God what to do, when to do it? I don't think so. You heard about the two frogs that fell in the deep pail of cream, didn't you? And the one frog said, it's hopeless. Too slippery on the sides of the pail. I can't get out of here. We're done. Kicked up his legs and drowned. The other frog said, I can't climb up the sides, but I can swim. I can at least try. So he started swimming with all those legs, those four legs, and swimming in that cream. And he just kept at it and kept at it and kept at it until that cream started congealing on the bottom and solidifying. And when you churn cream long enough, what do you got? You got butter. And he just kept on and kept on and kept on until all that cream turned into butter. Then he just hopped off. I know, until you try to get past an obstacle by swimming one day. Then it's not so silly. So kick up your legs and die. Just kick up your legs and drown. Oh, God didn't hear me until I did it for 2 days. Pastor, I tried this for 2 weeks. Keep swimming. Keep churning. Keep moving. Just do what you're told. Do what's right by God. Obey Him. Persistence. Do it and do it and do it and do it and do it. You can't walk, knock the wall down, but you can walk around it. Amen and amen. I'm talking about getting past the obstacles in Christian life, friend. They're not, you're going to have them. They're not going away by Norman Vincent Peale's positive thinking. They're not going away by Robert Schuller's Crystal Palace. Well, you can get past them through prayer and Bible reading and trusting God and obeying God and just staying at it. And all of a sudden, that thing that looks so formidable, God gives the victory. That's called getting past the obstacles. You need to get past an obstacle. You need to. Pray. Read, trust, obey, and stay at it. Let's see if those walls won't come down. In His time, not yours. Let's pray together. We've gone a little bit too long. Dear Father, I pray that You'll bless the preaching of Your Word this morning. Help us, please, this morning. Speak to some heart in this room, I beg You. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, no one's looking around. Let me ask this morning, who would say, Brother Angel, I'm saved and I know it. If I died right now, I know where I'd spend eternity. I'm going to heaven. I'm a born-again child of God. All I say, don't lie. Don't lie about it. If you're not sure that you're saved, don't raise your hand. But if you're sure that you're saved, no doubt about it, you're not ashamed of it, would you raise your hand this morning all over the room? And just be honest about it. Thank you. Take your hands down. Now, That was most, if not everybody, but a few that did not. Maybe you're uncertain. And that's okay. That's okay. Or maybe you know you're not saved. But the big thing is you can do something about it. Pastor, I could not raise my hand just then. I don't know this matter of salvation, eternity, heaven, where I'll spend the next life, eternity. I don't know. Please pray for me. I'm not sure that I'm saved. I'll raise my hand. Would you please do that right where you sit? Slip it up, put it right back down. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Pray for me. Anybody like it? Front to back, side to side. God bless you. Is there somebody else? I appreciate that. That's wonderful. Anybody else? This is September 28th, October 15th. 33 years ago, I did the very same thing in a church auditorium. I raised my hand. Pastor, I don't know for sure that I'm saved. Somebody took a Bible and showed me how to be saved that day. Thank God. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking. If you raised your hand right now, you're not sure that you're saved. With nobody looking. We have ladies and men up here who can take the Bible and show you what it means to be saved. That's what happens down here at this altar. Men and women, men show men, women show women what the Bible says about being saved. Nobody's looking. If you're serious about wanting to know for sure that you're saved, why don't you come right now? Get up out of your seat, move this way, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, nobody's looking, or move when the music starts, but come on down. Let us show you from the Bible how to be saved this morning. Huh? I did that 33 years ago. I'm so glad I did. I would invite you to come in a moment.